Praise God. Okay.
And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. I'd like to take some time to talk about a familiar subject, but an important subject this morning. That subject being prayer. Prayer is important. Amen? Critical to our relationship with God. And critical if we want to see God move. We need to be a people of prayer. And specifically this morning, I'd like to talk about praying with faith. Reading from Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing upon our time in His Word today. Father, once again we give all honor and glory and praise to You as we've just sung a few moments ago. We thank You, God, for the privilege that we have to come into the house of God to worship and also to hear Your Word. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us as we look to Your Word this morning. Give words to this servant, God, today. Give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit is saying. And we will not, God, fail to give You all honor and glory and praise, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We had a fantastic time early last week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, getting together and praying for one another's needs. And I know many of you came out and we appreciate that, and I know many of you couldn't be out for various reasons, but we're praying anyway. And one thing I find in my life, the more I pray, the more I want to pray. And my desire in this time of prayer that we had and praying for families and praying for one another and praying to see that God would move, that it would do two things. Number one, that it would encourage us to pray more. And number two, specifically, it would encourage us to pray for one another more. We need to see God move. And we need to pray as a church for one another. In fact, we'll talk about this in a little bit in the message, but if we truly want to see God move, we need to start acting like a body. Because that's the way God has designed us to be. And when we do pray together, God does great things. And the best example I can give you is me. I hate to bring it up all the time, but it's just a fantastic testimony in my life. 3 years ago, stage 4 cancer, really, really bad. God's people, you prayed. My friends and family and people all over the United States, people who knew God, loved God, served God, prayed on my behalf, and God has moved. And I'm in great shape today. And I thank God for that. I give God the honor and the glory. But I also understand that God's people were praying together for one thing. And it shouldn't stop with just that or even with the big needs. We need to continue to pray for one another. So may prayer increase in our lives. And may we continue to pray for each other. And when we pray, may we pray in faith. And because it's important, according to the scripture that we read this morning, that when we pray, we need to believe that God is going to answer if we're going to see God move. And we also need to understand, well, what does that entail as far as praying in faith? So we're going to talk about four things this morning, five things, actually, as it relates to praying with faith. And they're very familiar things, but I think they're things that we need to remind ourselves over and over again. Because in our prayer lives, sometimes we get frustrated. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I I pray for things and I want things to happen, and I want not only things to happen, but things to happen in a certain way. And they don't happen that way. And so I get frustrated. But I know God doesn't want His people to be frustrated. He wants us to pray in confidence. So let's look at these five things this morning, and let's believe God that God would increase our prayer lives today. And if you believe that, say with me, amen, this morning. Amen. Praise God. The first thing, as far as if we want to be people who pray in faith or pray with faith, we need to be people who pray the Word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you want to be someone who prays with faith, you need to pray the Word. Jesus puts it this way in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So another aspect of praying in faith and praying in such a fashion that we see God move is being people of the Word. We have many examples of this in Scripture. I think of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about doing spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God. And, you know, there are all the different elements of the armor that we use to defend ourselves. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. But then it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, there are many aspects to prayer, and one aspect of prayer is intercessing. Believing God to move on either your behalf or the behalf of someone who's close to you or for a church or for a nation. And why we're intercessing, we're believing God to deliver people from whom? The hands of the enemy, the devil, Satan himself. And the weapon that we have been given by God to attack him and to drive him back away from God's people, away from His church, away from the nations. Bless God for missions. And I hope you're part of the missions prayer next Sunday night. It's important. Is to pray the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, "Thy Word is truth." It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so if we're to pray effectively, whether it's praise or adoration or intercession or whatever it might be, it's important that we be students of the Word, that we know the Word of God, that we've hidden the Word of God in our hearts. Now, one aspect, of course, of knowing the Word is memorizing the Word. And reading the Word regularly, and memorization is a great way, of obviously, to read the Word of God or to learn the Word of God. But it's also important that we understand what the Word of God says, because the Word of God, in many instances, has been taken out of context and made to say not what it has been intended to say. The book of 1 Timothy says that the person who knows the Word of God is someone who correctly handles or rightly divides the Word of truth. So we need to know the Word, but we need to also understand the Word. And that's why it's important that we be people who take time in our lives to study the Word of God. And there are many ways that we do that. The Word of God, if we're to study the Word of God, that means we need to be in it every day. We have high school students and we have college students with us today. Amen? And bless God for them. Now, if you're going to school, how often do you need to crack the books in order to do well in your classes? Well, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I needed to crack the books every day in order to learn. In order to do well, as far as the tests that inevitably were going to come. Well, life is full of tests, is it not? In fact, every time we get down to pray, if you want to know what to pray, you need to know what the Word of God is. So, as people who are trying to pray in faith and who are praying the Word, we need to understand what the Word says. Which means we need to read the Word. We need to expose ourselves to teachers of the Word of God. And it's great that we all come out on Sunday morning and bless God for Sunday morning. But preaching is a little bit different from teaching. Preaching is something that God uses to encourage us, to exhort us, to spur us on to good works. But to get down to the nitty-gritty of the Word of God, we need to expose ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night Bible study. That's why there are other studies. And that's why there are many, many good books that are out there that teach us what the Word of God has to say. If you want to be someone who prays in faith, prays the Word, be someone who knows what the Word says. And right along with that, we also need to be people who pray the will of God. Not only pray the Word of God, but pray the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." And, you know, one aspect of knowing what the will of God is knowing what the Word of God is. The Word of God tells us what we are to pray for. I mean, we don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize if someone doesn't know Jesus, we need to pray that they get saved. If someone has a financial need, we need to pray that that need is met. If someone's sick, we need to pray that their bodies would be healed. So we know what to pray, but we often don't know how to pray. And we don't know what path God is going to take us to that place of deliverance. So it's important for us as we pray not only to know what the Word of God is, but to know what the heart and the mind of God is towards the situation that we're facing. One of the favorite scriptures that people quote is from James chapter 2 in regards to prayer. "You do not have because you do not ask God." Or many people know it in the King James, "You have not because you ask not." And that's a great scripture. But often we leave out the next scripture, which is James chapter 4, verse 3. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what you get with your pleasures." See, it's not only important that we ask, it's also important that we ask according to what the will of God is regarding the situations that we're dealing with in our lives. And sometimes our will and what we want to see happen and what God wants to see or how God wants to move us to whatever place He would like us to be is completely different. There are several instances of this in Scripture, the chiefest of which is the Lord Jesus Christ when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did Christ pray before He was delivered into the hands of sinners? "Father, if there be any way that this cup would pass from me, let it be so, but nonetheless not my will, but thine be done." Again, Jesus, His will and the Father's will, He submitted His will completely before His Heavenly Father and prayed for His Father's will to be done. The Apostle Paul also went through a difficult time, and we'll talk about this in just a few moments. He went through a time where he was being tormented by an evil spirit, and he sought God three times for that, and the Lord didn't deliver the way that He wanted Him to deliver by removing that demon spirit, that thorn in the flesh, but by simply ministering His grace. It wasn't necessarily what Paul wanted. It wasn't an answer that Paul was expecting, but it was a way that God moved in his life. And Paul needed to and did, in fact, resolve himself to that. So what does that mean when we pray in faith? When we pray in faith and we pray the will of God, it doesn't mean that we can't share what we want to happen in our lives. And not even pray the way that we want those things to happen, because Jesus did that very thing when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if there be any other way, let it happen." So we can express that. But we also need to understand, if we want to pray in faith and see God move, that sometimes things aren't going to happen exactly the way that we want to see them happen. I think a perfect case in point is when we pray for someone to accept Jesus. And sometimes when we pray, you know, what we want to happen is for them to come into church, hear a sermon, raise their hand, come up front, and accept Christ as their Savior. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know as well as I know it, that not everyone is at that place. And sometimes, and this has happened in my life, maybe not in coming to Christ, but in other areas in moving forward in Christ, God had to bring me down before He raised me up. And that's a difficult thing. Not only a thing in our lives, but that's a difficult thing when we're praying for someone to either find Christ or grow deeper in Christ or get set free from something that's bogging them down. It's a difficult thing to watch and experience them go through great pain. But God has their best interests in heart, and He knows that's the path that they need to go in order to finally lay down whatever thing is in their life that's hindering them from moving forward in God and accept Christ as their Savior or move into a place of obedience if they're not obedient. You see, when we pray the will, it's important to understand that when we're earnestly praying for God's will, no matter how bad sometimes things get, we still are trusting God because we know that God is using all things and working all things together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His Spirit. Thirdly, we need to pray in the Spirit. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 14, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And when He speaks of asking anything in His name, He's speaking of when we come to God and we believe God for something. We want to see God move. We can't pray on our own authority. We need to pray under the authority of God. And the authority that Jesus Christ was under as He walked this earth, even though He was the Son of God, He laid down His glory and honor, and He came and lived as a mere mortal man on earth, even though He was still the Son of God. And everything He did was under the power or the authority of the Holy Spirit. And yes, when we pray, you know, we end every prayer in the name of Jesus, we pray, Amen. But it's more than just having that phrase on the end of our prayers to pray under God's authority. If we truly want to pray under the authority of God and see God move, we need to pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the anointing, the Bible says, that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that teaches us all things. It's the anointing and the power of God that's able to change lives and to move people forward. In fact, there's no force on earth, no heart of man, no great army, no government, no anything that can stand against the anointing. Now, as far as ministry and life, as far as living for Jesus, do we not, or should we not, seek for God's anointing on what we do? When, you know, as far as preachers, if they're worth their salt, if they really want to preach and touch lives, they won't just preach, you know, what they feel like preaching. They will not only study, and it's important to study the Word of God so you know what you're talking about, but they'll ask for God's touch or anointing upon them. And that just isn't for teachers and folks. If you could maybe turn the fans on. I see some people getting a little warm. And I'm adding some warm air. So, but teachers, the same way, if a teacher is going to truly be effective in teaching ministry, that teacher needs to be anointed. He or she needs the touch of God upon them. So it's not just a matter of a person talking to your mind, although that's very important. the Holy Spirit, because the power of God is upon that teacher, is talking to your spirit. Music the same way. You can play beautiful music, and I thank God for beautiful music. But if music is going to do more than just touch the emotions, you know, make you cry or make you happy, you know, music is a very emotional thing, it needs to have the touch of God upon it. Everything we do needs to have the anointing. So if preaching and teaching and music and all these things need God's anointing, can we not arrive, or should we not arrive to the same conclusion that our prayer life needs the anointing or the touch of God? In fact, I don't mean to get off the subject this morning, but we need the anointing. Not just in what we do, but who we are in Jesus. I talked about the Word of God just a few moments ago. And the Word of God seems dead to you when you read it in the morning or at night or whenever you read it. And I encourage you to read it every day. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I need bread every day. How much more so do I need the Word of God every day? And if it seems dead to you, before you read, pray and ask God to anoint your devotional time, your time of personal study and reading. In fact, I really don't want to get off the subject, but I do want to touch on this point. You need to pray for the anointing of God when you read Christian books or listen to Christian pastors or ministers, including this one. Because the anointing will open up God's truth to you, and He'll also protect you from error. The anointing of God is precious, and it's not just to do, it's to know. That's what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, I believe. The anointing will teach you all things. How important God's anointing is, and it's important when we pray. And going back to spiritual warfare, a good example of this is from the Old Testament in the life of David when he came against the big giant Goliath. And he came with a sling. Now Goliath had a huge spear. He had I don't know how big it was, but he had a shield. And the thing about warfare, and I'm not someone who's skilled in Old Testament warfare, but in those days, a guy didn't hold his sword and his shield like this. He held his sword, held a sword and a spear like this. And he had another guy who held his shield for him. It was actually two against one when Goliath was facing David. And here David, he tried on Saul's armor and he wasn't used to using that. He didn't use that as a shepherd. He used a sling and a staff. And so he said, I can't use these. I'm going to go ahead and just go with what I'm used to going with. But not just going with what I'm used to going with whom I'm used to going with. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit upon him. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and cut off your head. This day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. He was coming against a giant, and he spoke, prophesied against that giant. You come against me with sword and spear, and I come against you in the name of the Lord. His faith wasn't in that stone and that sling. His faith was in God. In fact, I dare say if he had a pea shooter that day, he still would have won. Why? because of the power of God that rested upon him. These days that we live in now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not out to slay people, we're out to save people, but we are praying against the forces of darkness, praying against the weakness of the flesh, praying against division in the home, praying against all these adversaries that are out there, deception and evil, and the list goes on and on and on and on. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. They're not what the world has. Not many of us, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, not many of us are rich or powerful or influential. We don't have the things of the world, but we have something greater. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Praise God. We need the anointing of God as we pray. So when you pray, ask the Holy Spirit to touch you, to open up your mind, to give you the words to pray. And yes, I believe in praying in other tongues as the Spirit leads us. We praise in tongues. We have messages in tongues. And we also pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray in the Spirit. I also pray in understanding, with my understanding. But we can also pray in our native tongue. English for most of us, maybe Spanish for a few. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He can lead and guide our prayer lives. And bless God. If we're praying under the... Was there any doubt in David's mind that that giant was going to fall? If there was, he wouldn't have stuck around. He went charging after that giant. He had no doubt in his mind that giant was going to fall. Why? Because of the power of God. Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Felled that giant. When we pray, bless God, getting down on our knees, even though everything might seem haywire, because the Spirit of God is upon us, we continue to pray, which leads us to our next point. We want to pray in faith. We need to pray without ceasing. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says. I think the King James Version is, or the New International Version is, pray continually. We look at the definition of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We see that faith is something that we believe in without seeing. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is believing without seeing. And anyone who's ever prayed, and anyone who's ever got down on their knees for something, there have been instances where God has answered almost immediately, or at least within 24 hours. But I know if anyone has prayed, I've experienced this myself, for something, many of us have prayed and nothing has happened. And some of us have prayed and not only has nothing happened, things have gotten much, much worse. And it's frustrating. And because we're human beings, when we pray and we don't see what we want to happen, and we don't even see what God's Word says should happen, you know, if we pray for the sick, they shall recover. If we, you know, pray for people to accept Christ, they don't accept Christ. Doubt and discouragement comes in. And then we feel bad. Because now I'm not sure whether this is going to happen. I'm not sure if I'm going to make my mortgage payment this month. I'm not sure if my marriage is going to be healed and made whole. I'm not sure if this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And because I'm not sure, I feel that, you know, I'm letting God down. Because I don't have that rock-solid faith in my heart. Well, you know, faith is more than just who we, just more than what we feel in our heart. What did God save when He saved you? He saved your soul, He saved your spirit, He gave you a brand new spirit. He saved your mind, You know, we thank God He gave us a new mind and renews that mind daily. He's also given us a new body. Amen? It's getting older. Some of us, we get healed and you know, along the way. But there's a new body coming. A body that will never get sick. A body that will never grow old. A body that will live forever. A body that will be able to do fantastic things. Some people say it's a body I can eat everything I want. And no, you won't, because that's a sin of gluttony. So you won't be doing that. You won't want to do that either. So faith is something that we not only do, you know, it's not just something you experience in your heart. And if I'm not feeling my heart at the moment, then I don't have faith. No. Because you're human, you will doubt sometime. But that's where faith comes in. It's when you take over, it goes beyond what you feel, and you continue to believe God anyway. And if you don't believe God in your heart, then you get down on your knees and you believe God with your body, and you pray anyways. God, I believe, help my unbelief. And even though I'm doubting, my heart is broken and I'm wavering right now, God, I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to believe you. When we pray without ceasing, we're praying with faith. Your faith will be challenged. Overcome your faith by continuing to pray and to seek God. And lastly, if we're to see God, to see God move, and if we're to really pray in faith, we need to pray together. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. See, the church, one way we're to think about what the church is, it's a living organism. It's a bunch of cells and not single cell animals that kind of are floating around in the ocean like bacteria or algae or something like that. A body of cells. And just like a physical body, the church was created, and all the different cells, and you and I make up the different cells of the church body, to be dependent, to be connected and dependent upon one another. You see, the church is more than just a group of people who come to worship God in a building. That's not really what a church is. Acts chapter 2 tells us what the first church was like, and yes, there were people who praised God together, but listen to their actions. They devoted themselves, verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So, yes, there was this aspect that they came together and worshipped. But they also prayed for one another's needs. In fact, even beyond that, they met regularly together. And they shared a meal together. And the purpose of that, I don't think, was just to eat. What happens when you eat with someone? You know, one of the most uncomfortable lunches I ever had was when I won't say who it was. It wasn't anyone you know. But for the longest time, we were at a restaurant with this couple, and they didn't want to talk about anything. And, you know, they're sitting across from us, and they kind of, you know, they were kind of looking around and eating their meal, and I tried to initiate conversation with them, and they weren't saying anything. That's what a meal is all about. You know, yeah, you know, it's about nourishment. But when God's people come together, it's about sharing together. That's why the church got together and they ate. It was so that they could get to know one another. So they can find out what, one another's needs were, so they could talk about what one another's victories were, so they could be a body in every way that God has designed the body to be. And what is the body? When it feels good, the whole body feels good. When part of it is injured, the whole body knows about it. God says when we pray for one another, we will be healed. And the only way we'll truly be able to pray for one another is to understand or know what one another's needs are. Which means we know we need to get to know one another and take full advantage of opportunities that we have. Because church is not just a name on a roll. It's a fellowship. And so, you know, I challenge you, and you know, maybe we should have more opportunities for fellowship like we have tonight or next Sunday with the sandwiches or, you know, when we have picnics or things of that nature. But it's also something that we can initiate ourselves by saying to a brother or a sister, hey, let's go out and have coffee. Or, hey, why don't you come over to my house and we'll watch the ball game. And not to watch the ball game, especially if you're a Red Sox fan, the ball games that they've been having, you'll have a lot of opportunity for conversation. Make opportunities to know other brothers and sisters in Christ, to get to know them, to get to know their needs, and to fulfill what God has called us to do, to pray for one another, so that we can see God move in powerful ways. You know, I think this is generally in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and musicians, you can come.